With festival and concert season being all about the boots, Tecovas is your stop for festival style. They are absolutely so cute, so trendy, also so comfortable. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff is at your service. Many of their stores have even leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, which is so cool. They also have regular live music and events. There's no in-store experience like the one of Tecovas. If you can't make it into a store, you can just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Maybe I'm just like weird. Maybe I'm crunchy.
This is the Southern Tea with Lindsay Chrisley.
I think it's so funny when you get Christmas cards and all of these people write their children's accomplishments on the back. I don't love them.
A Southern girl and a boy mom who's trying to navigate life while staying true to her roots.
I am a functioning, non-functioning human being right now.
Join Lindsay each week as she swears to spill the tea, the whole tea, and nothing but the tea.
That is the tea.
Here's Lindsay.
Good morning and welcome back to another episode of the Southern Tea. Good morning, Kristen.
Hello, 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 Lindsay Chrisley.
I have already had a whirlwind of a morning. I woke up and immediately when my feet hit the floor, I hopped in the shower. For whatever reason, I live off of like a two-lane road, but like one way is like a different direction of traffic. So it's like one direction's going one way, one's going the other. And I now have to leave my house like 30 minutes before time to go to Pilates. So I was like, oh God. And for whatever reason, I was sweating buckets last night and woke up and was like, yeah, I immediately need to shower before I go to Pilates, stripped off my bed linens, started the laundry, and just like started going through my house and then ran out the door to go get my workout on and realized that I feel like my son is slightly a hoarder.
Does he get it from Klepto Will or?
You know, Will and his dad are slightly hoarders as well. And when I say hoarder, I mean that very loosely. I'm not talking about like they need to be on the show hoarders, but it's creeping up on that. And it just like freaks me out. I'm like, why do you need to save these things that you're probably never going to use again? For example, last night, Jackson called me when he got to Will's and was in Will's basement going through like storage bins. And he's like, look, mom, I found like an old Xbox 360. And it's like, why? Like you haven't used that since college, probably. Like there's zero reason why you need to have that. And Jackson is a hoarder of small things. So like anything that you would get out of like a bubblegum machine or something that comes in those little eggs, like mm-hmm. those tiny little things. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to organize those. Nope. So they all just go into one bin and it just looks so chaotic. And every time I try to throw them away, he's like, but that's my favorite things. That's all of those things are my favorite. And I'm like, no, there's not a million of these little things that are your favorite. I don't know the last time you played with them. So now that he is at Will's, I'm going to purge his entire room. So that's what's on my agenda for the rest of the evening. And then something else that I have not done in a very, very long time that I'm thoroughly looking forward to is a late afternoon nap.
Oh, see, I have peak nap time between 5 and 7.
5 and 7 a.m.?
No, p.m. Like 5 to 7 p.m. is my optimal nap time. If I'm going to take
why.
I don't really know. Honestly, yeah, it's probably because
you don't count though, because you stay up until like 3 in the morning.
And then get up at like 6:30 for work. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people really enjoy late afternoon naps. I especially enjoy them, like, if I've been at the beach or, like, the pool. If I've been outside, they hit different.
Gosh, when we were at the beach last week, there is nothing better than, like, being at the pool pretty much all day long. And you have had a good, like, very fattening, non-healthy meal.
Mm-hmm.
And that afternoon slump kind of like hits you. You're like, you know what? I'm going to go and close the blinds. I'm not paying for this AC. So I'm going to jack it all the way down. So it likely freezes the unit.
Yeah.
And going to take the best nap of my life. And for whatever reasons, those naps are the absolute best ever.
Multiple things here. First of all, if I'm going somewhere that I'm not paying for the AC, unless it's like someone's house, I'm jailbreaking the unit to get it further down than it could even possibly go without jailbreaking it.
Wait, is that illegal?
I don't know. I don't actually care either. But
how do you do that? Can you teach us?
Oh, I'll literally do a little tutorial for you next time. I did it when in Nashville. The first thing I did was walk in the room, saw how far down the temp would go. It was only 67. I said, that's not cold enough for me. So I jailbroke the unit, dropped that bitch to 60, and then you froze every time you came in to get your hair and makeup done.
Yes, I did, because 60 is an extreme.
But you sleep so good, you can't tell me shit. Like, you just sleep much, much better. So that's number one. Number two, I saw this TikTok, and I didn't send it to anybody because I was like, oh, I'm going to remember this. Apparently, women's cycles, like, we are naturally going to have a late afternoon, like, crash, need to sleep because of the way, like, our hormone cycles are. But, like, men don't get that way, like, supposedly. Most men, because of the way their hormones are set up, I guess this would be if you're functioning optimally with all of your hormones and stuff. But just, there's so much crap about our cycles that we don't know. We think about, like, oh, ovulation, period. But there's so many times in between there that explains so much of the shit that we go through, but we think we're just crazy. And it literally is because of our cycles.
You know what's really weird? This is going to sound very odd. I really don't think I have PMS like I used to, but I think that was just part of me being pissed off and married. Like, I'm not even shitting y'all. Since I moved into this house, it's almost like there are very rarely ever symptoms that lead up to my period other than the fact that I just have like a very consistent one. And that's the only way that I really know it's coming.
See, I'm trying to think about mine. Like, sometimes my boobs will hurt a little bit. I will say as I've gotten older, I used to get real bitchy. Now I think it's like a permanent character trait. So like you can't use that to gauge when I'm getting my period.
Wait. It's so funny because I heard someone say the other day to their wife, this is so bad. He said, are you PMSing or are you just that big of a bitch? And I was like, first of all, sir, you need to dial it back in because you're about to get bitch slapped.
First, I don't know why it pisses me off so bad if like a guy is like, oh, she must be on her period or oh, she's PMSing. It makes me so angry. And it's like, no, it couldn't possibly be because you're like the world's biggest douchebag.
Oh, for sure.
It's definitely has to do with like her cycle and whatever. Like I hate that. But I will say as I've gotten older, I cry. I get so emotional like around my period.
I couldn't tell you last time I cried. I mean, that sounds probably very bad. I couldn't tell you the last time.
I mean, I don't think that's bad because that's like a good thing, right? Like,
No. I feel like there's definitely been times that would have warranted a cry.
Oh, and you didn't cry.
That I laughed.
Yeah, that's called trauma because I do the same shit. I don't cry when I should cry. I cry at like Like Corey will tell me like, oh, I just found out I got the weekend off, and I'll be bawling my eyes out like, oh my God, are you serious? And it's the dumbest shit of my life. Yeah. And it's because I'm getting my period.
Can I tell you something totally unrelated? And it's got me very concerned, like very concerned.
Yeah.
There is this guy on Instagram. I'm not going to give you guys his full Instagram name, but his name's Jeremy. Mm. Okay. And every single day he sends me, I love you, Lindsay Chrisley, XOXO, XOXO. Okay. He mashes up photos of himself and myself with photos from either my Instagram page or my stories. He also sends me pictures of his iPhone calendar of things that he's doing on the daily. He tells me that he does martial arts class. He sends selfies from his bed. He sends me pictures of his passport, tells me he's coming to the United States to marry me.
Red flag, red flag.
And I'm just very alarmed and I don't know what to do. Like, I could block him. Oh, and there's this one photo. Okay, hold on. I'm going to have to take my camera off just so that you can put my camera on so that you can see this. I'm going to need you to
like, I'm laughing. It. See? Bad reaction. I'm laughing, but I'm actually concerned.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not letting me turn my camera on, so everybody's just going to have to see a screenshot of this. It's a photo of, again, my story and him holding up a ring. And it says, Lindsay Chrisley, my love, will you marry me?
Wow.
I don't know if I should immediately call 911.
Well, I was going to say, like, at what point, like, this is where it gets freaky, right? At what point do you take it seriously and, like, go to the police? And at what point do you just be like, okay, this is a creep?
I mean, I don't know. Like, he sends me pictures cheersing, like, drinking coffee in the morning, like, part of me says that he's just unhinged and that it's probably like harmless. But at the point that he starts asking me every single night if I would like to have a lovely Chinese noodle dinner with him, I'm kind of getting concerned, to be honest.
Is the ring nice?
No, it looks like his wedding ring.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure he might be married.
We're going to need the Manus Bureau of Investigations to get on this stat. Where's Caroline?
Literally. I saw something else funny that was on Instagram too. And I said, if this ain't all of us, it's all of us. It says, when I say the other day, it could be any time between yesterday and my birth. And that's
yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, the other day could mean literally 5.5 months ago, a marriage ago.
Yeah. I say the same shit. I'll be like, oh, you know, like a couple days ago or a couple months ago. And it's actually probably like 17 years ago.
Yeah. I love that. If you guys hear this rattling sound, I'm eating a IQ bar.
What so flavor?
Good. One that you can't have.
Damn it.
Peanut butter chip.
See, now I can't talk to you.
And it's just so good. Like every one of those flavors of IQ bar is so good. And I notice that like somebody has been taking pulls off of my IQ bar in the pantry. And I don't know who it is. I'm like, which one of my friends is coming over here, copping like my IQ bar and liquid IV and dipping out?
You gotta get cameras.
I'm like, I've truly had enough. I know shopping for clothes can be a compromise and you feel like you're having to choose between saving up for luxury pieces that cost an arm and a leg, or you're settling for cheap, fast fashion that's not going to last. And when I found Quince, I felt like I was just elevating my closet and it's so affordable.
I'm on their website right now because, of course, I need all the comfy things. And they have such a range of must-have items. I'm literally sitting here looking at a 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater and it's only $50. That, like, you can't beat
literally,
that.
Literally, it's so good. With Quince, you're going to get high-quality, timeless pieces without paying the luxury price tag, which I love. And the little pajama sets that I have from them look so expensive and they're totally not. Quince really works to create timeless classic styles that aren't going to go out of fashion, and you're going to be able to have them in your closet for forever. And that's something that I've been trying to move to, not buying things that I'm just going to wear for a season and then get rid of them. I like to just have my staple pieces, go-to things that I can wear over and over again. And people are probably going to wonder when they go and visit Quince's website, just like you, how they do it. And Quince partners directly with top factories to cut out the cost of the middleman and pass savings on to you. And they also only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium eco-friendly fabrics and finishes. So you can really feel good about getting high-quality items that last longer.
I absolutely love that. And I just placed my order for some PJs and slippers immediately. So I cannot wait to get those in. Everyone else, you can shop with Quince today and discover the affordable luxury you deserve right now. Go to quince.com/tea to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/tea for free shipping, 365-day returns, quince.com/tea.
I had a packed house this weekend. Every bed and sofa were being used in this house. So this morning when I started stripping beds, I started stripping everything. And I need to know, anybody that's listening to this, and also you, Kristen, when you strip your bed sheets, mm-hmm. how often do you wash your mattress pad and how often do you wash your duvet cover if you have a duvet?
Okay. So
there's a reason I'm asking this.
I have multiple mattress pads because I like to immediately make my bed. I don't like to have to wait for like sheets to be done mm-hmm. to make my bed. So I have multiple mattress pads, probably honestly like 3 of them. So that gets done every time I change my sheets. That gets thrown in the wash immediately. And then my bed gets immediately made.
Okay. What about the duvet?
We don't sleep under the same blanket. It's key to successful marriage. Don't share a blanket.
Wait, why?
Because then you don't have the fighting over who has more blanket and who's rolling it and pinning it and like ripping it off you in the middle of the night. And like I sleep hot and Corey sleeps cold. So he likes to bundle like he's in like Antarctica and I like to just like not have it at all. So we use the threshold blankets from Target, like the big king size ones, but we each have one. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have the amount of blankets is not okay. Honestly, I probably have 12 of these blankets. And I get one and then Corey will sleep with one in the summer and 2 in the winter because in the winter time, my bedroom window gets open. The minute the air conditioner goes off, my bedroom window gets opened.
Oh, no, ma'am.
Because I have to be cold.
No, because I immediately think a murderer is coming.
Yeah, but I'm on the second floor.
That doesn't eliminate murderers.
Yeah, but I'm going to hear you. Like if first of all, there's a tree outside my window. That is not climbable. So like, I'm going to hear branches breaking. I have 8 million dogs that live in this house that will literally sense that you're coming from. My dogs get pissed off if someone is walking down the street.
No, there's just like no doors unlocked.
No, I don't do the doors unlocked thing. The window. Yes.
No. There will be no window open in this house. Every door will be locked. I will go through this house and check and make sure even like my garage door, I have my garage door down and the door coming in from the garage door locked.
Yeah, that's normal. All of my doors are always locked.
I feel like that's not normal. Like I never remember growing up in our garage doors, like on the inside coming in from the garage ever being locked.
I had a garage. I don't have a garage in this house, but in the house that I grew up in, like most of the time, I had like my door coming into the house from the garage was steel and that bitch had a handle lock and a deadbolt. And they were always locked.
Wow. So you guys were scared people. I guess we weren't really that scared of people growing up. And then
I
started watching.
Well, you lived down south. I think that's a southern thing where you don't lock your doors.
No. I feel like geographically, I mean, yeah, if you live in like a crime-ridden city or something like that, then obviously like, but north and south, I feel like there's just as much shit that goes on.
Yes, but I feel like I need people to actually vote on this because I have family that live down south and they always talked about how their doors were never locked and this, that, and the third. And I could never imagine like not having my door locked. It was just like, some of my friends didn't. Some of my friends would have their garage doors wide open and like all kinds of shit. But like, I just never.
Okay. So back up. So you guys don't share a blanket. Okay.
Nope.
That is weird. never heard that. Probably would have solved a lot of problems in my marriage, to be honest.
Now
because
you know.
You do fight over who's got more blanket. And I run really hot at night. And it doesn't matter what time of the year it is. Like, yeah. I'm running hot at all times at night. But it's the only time of the day that I'm ever really running hot, which is so strange. But someone asked me, they were like, Lindsay, why are you taking your duvet cover off of your duvet in your guest room? Like, it was only slept under for two nights. And I'm like, okay, because the next person that's coming to stay at my house, which I don't know who it is, probably Nanny, like, I want to make sure that all of her linens are clean and only she's touched them. Like, I feel like it's like a courtesy, right? Like, you want someone that's coming to your house that is your guest to know that they're sleeping under clean everything. And then it got me going down a long rabbit hole about how hotels like don't wash their comforters and shit.
I was going to say, whoever messaged you has the hotel mentality.
Yeah. Like, but why do hotels do that? And like, how is that even legal? Like, wouldn't you think that possible bodily fluids of some kind would like get on those?
You want to get more freaked out?
Not really, but yes.
So, I don't want to get sued here. So, somewhere that someone I know used to work was a like massage chain place.
Mm-hmm.
You know the blanket that's on top of the sheet? That does not get changed out every time either.
That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. And like,
that's disgusting.
Naked people get massage. I sometimes have gone into a massage fully naked.
Wait, sometimes I always go in fully naked.
Well, there's like sometimes, like if I'm on my period and I'm getting a massage, like I'm putting a thong on because like I like to have my ass cheeks worked like real good. My glutes kill me all the time. So like I'll put a thong on or whatever. Or if I'm like getting massaged by like, I don't know, like if I'm going for a first time with a new masseuse and I don't know their draping technique, because sometimes like the draping techniques aren't like that great. And I'm like, oh, I don't want a lip slip. So... I'll throw a thong on or something, but yeah, like, so when said person started working at this place, and found that out, it was, mortifying because I was just like, you know, what's the criteria for changing it or not changing it? And it was like, well, if it looks dirty, you change it. If it doesn't look dirty, you put it back on.
Okay, but what if someone had some type of, like, disease or something that, like, they rubbed all over that?
Yeah.
That's literally disgusting.
And there's just a lot of stuff that happens, like, in massage places that, you know?
You know what? I wasn't going to go there. But I wonder how many, like, places are actual rub and tugs.
Oh, sometimes it's not even like that. So, like, said person who worked at this place, there was like an incident where two people were getting a couple's massage and the massage therapist left the room to like let them get redressed, and they were doing a lot more than redressing.
See, I just couldn't get into something like that. Like, I'm telling you, even if I have knowing that like I have an appointment coming to my house or something like that and I'm sleeping and somebody decides that, you know, they want to do the hanky-panky in the morning, it's like, okay, well, you should have thought about this 30 minutes ago because they're going to show up and this is what's going to be going on. So, like, I don't feel comfortable with this. One time, actually, I'm going to tell myself, it was when Heather was my assistant before she moved. And she always came to the house at the same time. And everybody's going to know who I was dating and seeing at the time. Decided that, you know, he wanted some morning sex. So that's, you know, transpiring. All of a sudden, I hear my garage start going up.
Oh, God.
Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, immediately get off or get off.
get off. I don't care which way you do it, but just make it happen.
But I don't see how people like go into places like that and just decide that they're just going to drop their draws and like start going. Like, who told them that that was a good idea?
I don't know.
Is it for a thrill? Like, do you think that's what it's more about?
It could be a thrill, could be a kink. Some people, like, your body has a natural response to physical touch anyway. So, like, when you're getting massaged, it's actually very common to, like, get aroused for men and women. Especially if you haven't had physical touch in a long time. So, like, that's like, just, like, a natural body response. So, like, that's never... I know a lot of people who are actually nervous, especially men. They're like so nervous that they might get a boner or something. And it's like, okay, well, you probably will. And if it's a respectable place, they're not going to make you feel uncomfortable for it as long as you're not doing any weird shit with it. When you start doing weird shit with it, that stuff has happened that I've heard about from said person that worked at the massage place. I'm trying to think what other things that I've heard about happening. Oh, I was told that at this specific massage place, like there was like people started getting into crazy kinks after the 50 Shades movies came out.
Oh God.
And like booking appointments and like showing up. It was just like a lot. And then, you know, of course you have like your people who think that they could just pay their way into getting like a rub and tug or, you know, a little flick of the bean, but yeah, it's
goodbye.
Very real interesting. So
do you think it's as common for women to want their bean flicked than it is for guys to, you know, want to get a little tug?
I was told that it's actually more females that look for that in a massage place.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even imagine. Like, how do you just like randomly like hop up at one of those places and be like, so can you flick my bean? Like, what?
I had a friend that actually went to a massage place not that far from my house, like, because they were told that it was really good massages there and they hurt themselves at work. And it turned out that the place they were at was like a rub and tug type situation. And they didn't know till like they were in the midst of getting massaged.
Okay, that's so good. I go to this local place, and when I tell y'all, it is one of the shadiest looking places that like you will have ever seen in your life. Like, you pull into a gas station parking lot and it's adjacent to the gas station. So it's almost like it maybe should be like a Wingstop or something, but it's a massage place. And you walk in and you immediately feel like you're in a different like world, like completely different world. Like, I am no longer existing in the United States. And they're so nice in there. Like, everybody's so nice, but it just looks shady. And they have these things that, like, I guess the masseuse hold onto, like, at the top of the ceilings. And I've never, like, that's never been a part of my massage.
I was going to say, I wonder if that's a Thai massage.
I'm thinking that it must be that, but I'm like, what type of tricks are they doing, like, on those? And I've thought about asking them, like, hey, can, like, y'all do that to me? But then I'm like, I don't want to get into any weird shit. But people have told me that it's a rub and tug.
You're like, are you doing Pilates too?
I'm like, dear God, like, I hope that I'm not going to some place that is actually like participating in that type of activity. But all I know is I go in, I get a deep tissue massage, I feel great. I leave. It's the best bang for your buck. And it might be a bang for your buck.
We're not sure.
we're very unsure. But like, it's good. And I did notice that they change all of the sheets. Because one time I went in there, I was like waiting outside of the room to be able to go in. And they were like changing the bedding. And everything came off. And they brought everything out. And then took everything new back in. So I'm like, maybe it actually is one of those places, because maybe, you know, skeet skeet.
This episode is brought to you by IQBar. Now get 20% off every IQBar product plus free shipping when you text T to 64,000.
Do you hear that, rapper?
Mm-hmm. Of course I do. I know exactly what you're eating too, because I just had one.
I absolutely love IQ Bar so much. I had the peanut butter chip and it is amazing. It doesn't just taste great, but it's packed with healthy, functional ingredients for your body and your brain, and it fits every diet. Keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, literally all of them. And it's the only protein bar, in my opinion, that tastes great. It's clean label, has next to no sugar or net carbs. And that's why I'm a big fan of IQ Bar.
We absolutely love them in my house, especially getting the value pack because all of the flavors are really, really good. And I just have to say, you know that scene in Mean Girls where she's like, I've only been eating this bar and I keep gaining weight and nothing fits besides my sweatpants. I've, you know, had similar experiences with other bars. So I was very, very impressed when I saw the ingredients and the label for IQ Bar. I was like, there's no way. It's just filled with wonderful ingredients, honestly. It's great for your body. It's packed with plant protein for strong muscles, prebiotic fiber for happy gut, and healthy fats for clean, crash-free energy. And it's just, there's no weird ingredients. So like you feel comfortable with what you're eating. And they really help me, especially with that like afternoon slump when I just need something and I don't know what to eat. At this point, I just have a basket with my IQ bars in it. And that's what I reach for.
Now get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. To get 20% off, just text T to 64,000. Get your discount, text T to 64,000. That's T to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like
good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
In completely other news, wanted to give Koberger updates. What all have you seen?
Okay, so I saw where something came out about the prosecution they're gonna speak to all of the victims' families and hear, you know, their thoughts on what they want to see happen as far as like death penalty or no death penalty with Brian, before making their, you know, overall decision of whether they're going to pursue the death penalty in this case. Which I really respected because at the end of the day, they're the ones who were affected. Mm-hmm. So definitely respected, you know, hearing them out and hearing what their wishes are. And then I also saw about 6 new warrants that were like released, but really redacted. So like, we know what the warrant was for, but like, that's about it. So it was like basically all social media and like a running app. And then I also saw this morning actually where Ethan Chapin's mom did a interview where she was talking about how she will not, like, they're not going to go to the trial or anything. And like what her position was on that. And then she actually wrote a book also, which I thought was kind of cool.
She's already written a book.
She wrote, I believe it's like a children's book. I think it's called The Boy Who Wore Blue. Could be mistaken. But I think it's like a children's book. She had mentioned where someone said something about writing a book about this whole thing. And she's like, if anyone's going to write a book about my child, it's going to be me.
Oh, wow. So yeah, it says The Boy Who Wore Blue, Stacy Chapin, and it's available at Barnes and Noble. What do we know what it's about?
I didn't get that far into her interview yet, but I did just see like clips from it. I'm curious to see what it's about, but I think it's more geared towards like kids, if I had to guess, or, you know.
Yeah, it says, hold on. I would love to be able to get this book myself. It says The Boy Who Wore Blue is a story of a happy kiddo who loves his family life and new adventures. He's funny, kind, inclusive friend to all, especially his best friends, a triplet brother and sister.
The detailed illustrations depict everyday activities and highlight how a sunny disposition and a smile empower us to enjoy life's little moments. Although the book is for children 3+, its message will resonate with the readers of all ages. A portion of the proceeds from each book will benefit Ethan Smile Foundation. That's so amazing. I love that she did that. And I really support their decision to not go to the trial. I think that would be a hard decision as a parent to make, but I think that their focus is in the right place of not giving energy to something like that. That would be very, very hard.
That's what I was going to say. I can't imagine. I don't even have kids. And I can't imagine feeling like that. I have tremendous respect for that family feeling that way. I have tremendous respect for the fact that they already started a foundation and they're like really trying to do something, with his, you know, in memory of him and make, you know, make some good out of it and especially like leave some good in the world because of him.
I think in the situation of all of these families, my heart goes out to them because, or in any type of situation that happens like this and when something like this goes to trial, you have to consider that there's families on both sides. And in this specific situation, there's multiple families on one side and then one family on the other side. And although the things that were done are so horrific and horrible and unfathomable, I can't even think to wrap my head around the situation at all and being involved to the level that these families were impacted. But to know that the family of the accused is also suffering in their own way as well. And so I just really respect the Chapin family for, you know, not participating and not giving energy to that. I also love the fact that the prosecution met with these families and gave them a voice regarding the death penalty, because I don't know if that's common, but I really love giving them the opportunity to be able to have a say.
Well, because it's almost like giving them a little bit of power in this situation, mm-hmm. where they probably feel so void of that, mm-hmm. Especially with all these events happening to them, to their kids, to their sisters, brother, loved ones, whatever, friends, like it's all happening to you. You can't control it. Like, and there's, you know, that's an extremely vulnerable place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely respect that, you know, giving them a voice. I also, you know, I do want to say that while I do respect, you know, Ethan's family for not wanting to move forward and not put energy towards it, it doesn't mean I don't respect the other families for wanting to. Absolutely respect both sides. Like, there's no right way or wrong way to handle this, in my opinion. Like, if they want to be involved, great. If they don't and they're doing something else instead with that and putting that energy to different use, go for it. Like, I think if they're on such a healing journey and they're in front of so many people while trying to deal with it, you know, Ethan's mom was talking about how his siblings, like, were able to still finish out the school year on a great note. They're working this summer, and I, like, that's all you could hope for, is that they're able to, they're never going to move on, but to like continue on.
Well, and you know, I think that a trial in itself, and definitely one like this, it's almost like, you know, what I've said before about being on reality TV and filming something and then it going away and then it coming back so many months later and like you're reliving that experience. I would imagine on a very, very, very different level that would bring up emotions that, you know, maybe just does not have a place in their life right now. And like you said, if they're on a healing journey, nothing good could really come of the nitty-gritty details, because in a trial, the amount of stuff and dehumanization that is at play is just insane. And I can't even imagine. And you have to consider too that, you know, that family has two
they're triplets, but what would you say, like twin siblings?
I would say like two surviving siblings.
Yeah, to Ethan, that, you know, the trauma that would be involved with them being involved would probably far outweigh the benefit of being present.
Yeah, and especially just like with everything that's circulated in the media, where everybody keeps saying with not just Ethan, but like a variety, like multiple of the victims are like, oh, you know, sounds like it was a wrong place at the wrong time type situation. And I almost think that that's probably harder to process.
Yes.
Than finding out that somebody was like a target, because at least with a targeted situation, does it make sense as to why they were the target? I don't think it'll ever make sense to anybody. However, there's a reason, right? So there's a reason why this happened to this person. Unfortunately, like, this person was the target. But if you keep just saying, like, basically it was the luck of the draw for some of these kids, like, that's, I can't comprehend that, right? So, like, when really bad accidents happen and you're like, how the hell did this happen to that person?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those are the hardest things to actually process through.
Oh, I agree.
Because then it's like you question everything down to like life's purpose itself, I think.
I think as a parent, it would be very, very hard to not go through the motions of the questioning of, you know, had my child not done this that night, you know, he or she would possibly still be living. Versus I feel like the thought process of knowing that your child was a target of a monster like that, it doesn't make it any easier, but it's different.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. But I mean, I respect all of them for everything that they're doing right now and just, you know, trying to do the best they can, I'm sure. And
I will be interested to see. Don't they have a certain amount of time to decide if they're going to pursue the death penalty?
I believe I heard that there was a timeline, as like they had X amount of time after was it the arraignment where he had to put his, plea in?
Well, I think it's a certain amount of days from the day that he stood silent.
Right. So,
and I don't know what that was.
I want to say I heard 30 or 60 days and I can't really remember.
Well, I'll be interested to see what the state determines on that. Also, if it's going to be by firing squad, if they choose, or if it's going to be by lethal injection. I also will be very interested to see what all comes back on these search warrants for TikTok, Snapchat, Reddit, Google, AT&T, and that exercise app. Again, this gag order keeps coming up over and over again. And that's why these documents are so heavily redacted. And I can't help but want to read them in their entirety. I'm sure a lot of us, we want to have access to something. We just want to have access to something and we want to read it. But also knowing that there is a reason that this stuff is being redacted. And I cannot wait until October to see all of this play out and for us to get more answers, because I do think a lot of us have just become so personally invested.
I think also I wanted to ask you this. In my recent memory, this is like the first case that I can remember in such a long time where we have seen like a gag order be put into effect and like heavily redacted things that would typically be, you know, for public consumption are not accessible.
You know, I really respect the system for doing this. Like I told you before, I think it's very frustrating. And I think for the families, they want information out there. And I could very much understand that as well. But there's also a process and a procedure of how to do something. And I think that when you are the state that is prosecuting somebody in this manner, and they're potentially facing the death penalty, and these crimes being so horrific, I would hate to see there not be a gag order in place and things to become so misconstrued as we have already seen happen.
Right.
And by, you know,
there to be a possible defense for things that he shouldn't be able to defend himself on, in my opinion.
Do you feel like this should be standard? Like I do. In cases like this, like I do have a gag order in place.
You see, you know, cases like Casey Anthony and Scott Peterson and the Christopher Watts, the Lori Vallow case. You see all of these cases play out so publicly. And while it is an interest to a lot of us, I do believe that there are certain things that should be kept hush hush, really until it is played out in court. And then I think at that point, you know, once a verdict is reached, then everything is fair game. But I think involving the public to kind of make assumptions on things that we might not should be assuming could be a dangerous play.
Yeah.
You got to consider too, when you are pulling a jury, you know, like what they would have had access to. And so I think that that can't, you know, go overlooked. Like how will they possibly pull one?
Well, that's been my question the whole time. I just like, because of how widespread it already is, I'm like, how the hell do you pull an unbiased, like, group of people? But it's interesting because there's so many people who are like, oh, I could never be unbiased after hearing all this information. And I'm over here like, oh, put me on, like, put me in, coach, because if the evidence looks a different way during the trial, like, I'm not that I'm easily swayed, but like, I would go in with an open mind. And I think there's two very different types of people. There's people who would have a preconceived situation before they went in and just like automatically go in like, oh, well, he's guilty because I saw all this stuff saying he was. So now you're going to have to convince me of otherwise. And then there's people who would actually be able to be sitting there and just be like, okay, this is the first time I'm actually hearing all of the actual factual evidence, unredacted, all this stuff. So like, do I think he's guilty or not?
See, I feel like I could not be as unbiased as you are. Even the conversations that you and I have had privately, I'm like, absolutely not. He did it. Don't care what anybody says. Like, you could not convince me otherwise. I think he thought he was just a lot smarter than what he actually is and was very confident. And it's alarming.
Do you think that you couldn't be unbiased because you're a parent?
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious because I've heard that a lot from especially just like friends of mine that used to be super into like true crime and stuff, right? Like before they had kids, and then they had kids and they're like, I can't even watch that shit anymore because it's terrifying.
It is terrifying. But I think when you see, you know, these young college students that were just living their life, educating themselves, just being normal, everyday college students who went to bed one night and were not safe where they felt like they were safe is terrifying to me. And I think any monster that could do something like this and the amount of evidence and my opinion that is stacked against this person, you couldn't convince me otherwise. And I want justice for these kids, but also their parents and their siblings.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think you just end up looking at it through like maybe some different lenses, you know, once you become a parent. Okay, Lindsay, I have some news.
I hope it's good.
Okay, so my assistant told me, and I'm so excited for her, that she is expecting her first little one. And she wanted to let me know because like it's safe to share for her now. And she also wants to help me find my, you know, next me for me while she transitions into the role of being a mom. So she's going to be helping me out with my Indeed search to find, you know, my next assistant.
While I am so excited for her, I'm also sad for you because I know that you absolutely love her. But I do think that Indeed is the right place for you guys to find another you for you because it is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. You had such great success finding her that I have no doubt that you will be able to find someone just as good.
It's been such a good experience. And I love Indeed, especially because they have Instant Match. So over 80% of employers, you can actually get the quality candidates you need and whose resume on Indeed matches our job descriptions. The moment we sponsor a job, that is actually according to Indeed US data. And They are an unbelievably powerful hiring platform, delivering 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest 2019. And I can speak from experience. I've done the route of trying to hire from other platforms, and by far, Indeed has been the easiest for me.
You can start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Southern Tea. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/Southern Tea. Indeed.com/Southern Tea. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm John Glover.
Emmy Award-winning researcher John Glover, and I'm Marissa Pinson.
Critically unacclaimed TV writer Marissa Pinson.
Aw. And we're the hosts of the new podcast, On Brand with John and Marissa.
Join us every week for an exploration of the world's most interesting and iconic brands, like Walmart.
Do they still have the old people who say welcome to Walmart?
No, they got rid of them. So you just want more old people in the store?
I want every staff member to be over 90. And Heinz.
Heinz. I say Heinz. Like I'm a German dictator.
And while you learn about these legendary brands, you'll also learn a bit about us. Hey, John, do you still sleep in shoes?
I would say probably 3 times a year I fall asleep in shoes.
You told me the thing that you should never look under a Costco chicken.
Well, I don't think you should ever look under a chicken. So tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode of On Brand with John and Marissa.
Available May 24th wherever you get your podcasts. See you there.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze. And it felt a little like... Time to go. Ah! Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Speaking of parenting, though, I saw this TikTok and I wanted to read it on here because it's about custody. And I get questions, probably one of the most common questions that I get is about custody. And this was very interesting to me. And I think that a lot of us who have gone through a divorce or just any type of custody situation, we're going to be able to relate to this. It's definitely stuff that I think that at some point I have discussed on one of the podcasts or, you know, both of them, about little spats that Will and I would get into early on when we started our co-parenting journey. But it is about common parental complaints a judge doesn't care about in a custody case. And the first one was 2 kids of the same gender sharing a room. I don't feel like that would be something that I would ever bring up an issue. If it's 2 kids of the same gender sharing a room, like, I don't really think it's fair for you to use that as a custody play because someone doesn't have enough room in their home for the children to have 2 different bedrooms. And if you're splitting time, what if that person downsized, you know?
Right. I will say from friends that I have that have kids, I'm actually shocked at the, I don't want to say hostility, but like the strong opinions that come on both ends of like it either being okay for their kids to share a room or absolutely the fuck not ever happening, you know, with sharing a room. I was actually shocked when one of my friends came to me and they're like, I'm in a fight with my spouse because, you know, he thinks this and I think this. And I'm like, I didn't even know that was something to fight about.
I mean, I just wonder if we're talking about 2 kids of the same gender that are not siblings sharing the same room. Because I feel like if that was the situation, that I might have a little bit of a problem with that. If it was 2 of my kids that I shared that I was co-parenting with my co-parent, and I had 2 boys, for example. And I mean, I guess it is talking about 2 kids of the same gender. Well, and it also depends on age too. I think this is like tricky because what if you have a kid who's like school age and then one that's not school age yet?
Like as a, in, like, say you have, like, a freaking, like, 6-month-old and then you have one that's, like, 4.
Yeah.
Or 6 or whatever school age
is. Like, how does that
work?
6 or 7.
I guess, like, I wouldn't – I have to like, put on, like, my thinking cap here. I guess I wouldn't necessarily care as long as, like, this 6-month-old was, like, a good sleeper. Because my concern would be, like, okay, well, this 6-month-old baby is keeping up the one that has to go to school, and that's not healthy.
Well, and then I also worry – I would also be worried about, like, a codependency if they're in one home 50% of the time, if we're just talking, like, 50-50 custody split for even numbers. They're sharing a room in one home, but in another home they're not. Wouldn't those children become codependent on each other for sleeping in the same room in one home?
Potentially. And then you also might have a situation of, like, well, I prefer to stay at mom's or dad, like, whichever one you don't have to share. Like, if they don't like it, mm-hmm. they then might, you know, be struggling to want to go to the house where they have to share. And then I'm going to ask you this, and you might not know the answer. Does that then become a situation where it could affect, let's just say, child support? Because isn't the whole idea that you have to give this child the same lifestyle?
I have always heard that the child support adjustment is based off of the lifestyle lived post, in my situation, divorce. I don't know what that looks like if you've never been married and your child, I don't know what that looks like, and maybe somebody who's listening can share their experience. But for me, when we were going through the custody stuff, it was always explained to me that if child support was ordered, it would be the offset for the lifestyle variation.
Got it. So, like, realistically, that could be sharing a room or not sharing a room.
Mm-hmm. I mean, potentially, but you can't, you also can't dictate how child support is spent, is what I was told. So, like,
sure.
Let's say, for example, Jackson has an upstairs at this house and he has his own playroom, his own bedroom at this house. And he went to Will's and he has his own bedroom, but doesn't have a playroom. I can't then say, oh, because I'm paying you child support, you have to provide a playroom with the money that I provide every single month. Like, that's not how it works.
Right. You can't dictate it, but they can definitely, I think, ask for an adjustment mm-hmm. because of that fact. So that's interesting.
Also, this is the other one, or the next one is interesting to me. A parent quickly introducing a significant other to the child or quickly remarrying. And I have a lived experience with this from my childhood. And then my thoughts when I was creating my parenting plan and settlement agreement, through the divorce, we were going to put it in the parenting plan that if we were going to be introducing somebody to Jackson, that we had to introduce that person to each other before we introduced that person to the minor child. And also that there had to be a 6-month rule that you had to be dating for 6 months prior to the introduction. And, you know, my attorney gave me some really good advice. She said, Lindsay, you have to decide what are the things that you want to truly drive home, and you're going to stick to your guns on those things. And then things that, you know, maybe right now they might be triggers to you, but why are they triggers to you? So if it's not, if it's triggers to you because it, you know, will, you know, heighten your emotions because either you or Will aren't fully emotionally moved on, then we don't need to put it in there. If it truly is a concern because you question judgment and character of someone's decision making, then that's another thing. And so it was just something that I forewent and did not put it in my parenting plan. And to be honest, I'm glad I didn't, because I feel like that complicates things far more. And a lot of times when you want to try to make decisions for other people and try to enforce something by a document, it causes them to want to rebel against you because it makes them feel like you aren't being a team player or you aren't willing to work with that person. And I have found that it's much easier when Will and I work with each other on things versus referring to the document. Being able to have it to fall back on in the event that we had to fall back on it. But I just personally feel like it runs so much smoother when we can have a meeting of the minds to be like, hey, you know, this is what's going on. Can you meet me halfway? Or, you know, I know that you might not like that I'm doing this, but I'm going to be forthcoming with you about this. And when we have conversations like that, we can see each other as human beings that are just trying to individually live our lives and raise a child together in separate homes versus looking at it as, okay, I'm court ordered to do this.
Well, and just like seeing it from the other side, it turns into a tit for tat when you're like, well, the document says, because you can be as specific as you want to be, but people are still going to interpret it in whatever way they want to in the moment. So then it's like, okay, well, you did this and you're interpreting it this way. I'm interpreting it this way. And guess what? Now I'm going to pull a tit for tat. And like that just like wasn't conducive to like the co-parenting situation with you and Will. So I definitely agree that the way you guys are handling it now is way better than last summer. Much better, I think. And it's probably much better for Jackson too.
I think that any person who has been through a divorce or any type of co-parenting situation, regardless of what, you know, brought you there, that you're going to go through the rocky phase at some point and you might revert back to it, be good, revert back. You know, I mean, I think that that's just part of trying to do something with someone that you're no longer with. That's a very, very hard and a very complicated situation. But I think that at the point that you get it figured out and you're willing to be solution oriented and you don't go up to bat trying to argue about something, you will get far better response, in my opinion, when you do that than trying to argue and always refer back to a document. About the quickly remarrying, my dad got remarried very quickly post my parents' divorce. I think they divorced in April or May, I want to say. Might have been before then, but it was very shortly after. And my dad and Julie got married at the end of May, and then Chase was born in June. So that was a very quick process, although their actual divorce process was pretty drug out. I think it went on for close to 2 years. So it was a lengthy process. And I think that as a child, I don't feel like I was harmed by that in any way. But as a parent now, I know that I would have never been ready to get remarried or to have another child with someone that quickly post-divorce. I'm not ready for that now.
So from the day that you filed for divorce from Will to the day that it was finalized, how long was yours?
I filed in July and it was done in April, I think.
So that's 9 months.
Yeah, it wasn't short either.
Yeah, it's just not a quick process. And I didn't know if that depends on like your state. I know in Pennsylvania, you have to like be separated for X amount of time before you can even file for divorce, to my knowledge. Yeah,
but to be fully transparent, and I haven't been fully transparent about the whole thing, there was a lot of delays that were intentional on both of our parts.
Okay, so yours could have been quicker and it just...
Mine could have been quicker. And I think that both of us were in such a state of, we know this is what we need, but it might not necessarily be what either of us want, that it was like the delaying of that finalization. We knew that it was going to happen, but it felt more in control when you felt like you could do things to delay the process. Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, okay, well, I'm going to change the verbiage of this. And, you know, I no longer like this idea. And we can't get along because you're getting in golf cart accidents. And now, you know, I'm going to go to court and file an emergency hearing for, you know, full custody because you flipped my kid off of a golf cart. Like, that's all the stuff that we were going through for that 9-month period. And to all of you who send me the golf cart video of the dad like drinking and the little boy sitting next to him and they're like flinging off the golf cart, like, I love it every single time. I love it as much the last time I got it as the first time I got it.
I think too, it's kind of like you weren't really ready to rip that Band-Aid off yet, because I think knowing something is the right decision for you and then not wanting it to happen is probably the worst place to be in. I think it's very different if like you want nothing more than like wholeheartedly to get divorced and not be with that person anymore, and you know that it's the right thing. Like, it's probably so, it's probably much easier. I don't want to say so easy. It's probably much easier than being in a situation of not wanting to do it, but knowing you have to.
For sure. There's a couple more things that I'm not going to go into depth on them, but it was a forward-facing car seat as long as it's legal to do so, taking the child for a drastic haircut that the child desired, parenting decisions being made during parents' own parenting time, which is one of the hardest things to go through when you, you know, you kind of have to agree to some point when you're married living under the same roof. Someone is compromising. Whether you realize it or not, someone is making a parenting compromise when you're reaching an agreement, when you would choose to do parenting totally different if it wasn't for the other person, right? Mm-hmm. When your co-parent has their own home, doing their own thing, living their life the way they see fit, it's not my place. And I had to learn that the hard way, that, you know, it's not my place to say we'll can or cannot do X, Y, and Z with Jackson. Now, if you're putting my kid in harm's way, that's another circus that I'm about to involve myself in. However, you know, there are certain things that I just had to surrender and say, you know what, this was not the plan that I envisioned for my life. I don't feel like this is really working out. If I could go back in time and change some things so that we didn't have to do this, maybe would, maybe wouldn't. But like, this is the place that we are at now. And I no longer have the ability to make all of these decisions. So I have to trust my co-parent enough to allow him to either mess up and hope it's not that bad, or I just have to trust and hope that he just does all the right things that I know he is capable of doing.
Right. Right.
And then the last thing just said that judges don't really care about differing opinions on how to parent. So I think that that's really wise. It's something that Will and I spent a decent amount of attorney's fees on, going back and forth on differing parenting opinions very early on. And my biggest advice to anyone is, if it's about a parenting dispute over any of the things that I just listed, really consider before you incur a legal cost or you take it into a courtroom, because the last thing you want to happen is to use a courtroom as a revolving door, because you're going to get sick and tired of seeing you coming back for the same stuff and you're not being solution oriented and you're not trying to problem solve within your co-parenting.
And then the judge will end up making the decision for you and no one's going to be happy.
No one.
Lindsay, I was looking at the weather the other day and I always check like what it's going to do by you, because you live so far from me, and I saw you are expecting rain.
I am expecting rain, which means that I have to plan a bunch of indoor activities, which
is not the easiest thing to do as a parent, and especially working from home and having your child home all summer long. This can be very, very challenging. So I started going through my stockpile of KiwiCo crates and pulled out a couple. I did a cooking one and a geography one. And can't wait for Jackson to come home for his days with me and we can have some rainy day fun.
I've been giving them as gifts. I know I've told you this. I've been giving KiwiCo crates as gifts at this point, especially because you've told me how helpful they are for you. And I just want to give like helpful birthday gifts and fun ones that like benefit both like my parent friends and their kids. So it's just a great idea.
It's a really nice way to take some time away from screens. I know that that can also be very challenging, but KiwiCo does all the legwork for you. So you can just focus on spending the quality time tackling the projects together. And for those of you who have never ordered from KiwiCo, it is a super cool subscription box for your kids. They offer multiple lines of fun and enriching projects that are designed to spark creativity, innovation, and learning. And it's going to show up right to your door, and your kids will absolutely love it. They have developmentally appropriate projects for every child and interest level from newborn to teens. And KiwiCo has been creating awesome family experiences for the last 10 years, which is so crazy to me. I can't believe that they've been doing this for 10 years with over 40 million crates delivered and over 20,000 five-star reviews.
Redefine play with KiwiCo. Right now, get 50% off your first month. Crates start at just $14 per month, plus free shipping on any crate line at KiwiCo.com. Promo code SOUTHERNTEA. 50% off your first month, plus free shipping at KiwiCo.com. Promo code SOUTHERNTEA. KiwiCo.com. Promo code SOUTHERNTEA.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
I saw this listener topic come through, and it said, I would love some advice, and what circumstances would you give a guy another chance? My ex-fiance had a drinking problem. When he was with his frat boys, about two or three times a month, he would drink a ton. Our engagement ended, and he saw me at a bar with another guy. Since then, 7 months ago, he doesn't hang out with fraternity brothers anymore. He goes to AA, weekly therapy, and Bible study. I can't decide because on one hand, he was my best friend, our beliefs align, and I love his family. He's willing to do anything. On the other hand, I need time to heal. And while I can't fully relate to this situation, I think a lot of us can relate to being in the place of feeling torn. And my biggest advice to anybody is to do what is the best thing for you. If you need time to heal, I think that is your answer. Because if something is meant for you, it'll come back. And if it doesn't, then it wasn't yours to begin with.
I went through, when I was younger, I was 18. Well, 17 into 18, I was in a relationship with an addict who would have used drugs and alcohol. And he went to rehab, and at the time I was like devastated. We broke up before he went to rehab, and I was like devastated because I was like I just, that's what I thought that I wanted. I thought like I just wanted him. He was like my first boyfriend. I lost my virginity to him. You know, I thought that's, you know, where I needed to be. And to this day, I say thank God. You know, to my knowledge, I believe he's clean and doing well now. He was not for a while, and you know, that made me sad, but you know, the best thing I could say is work on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't turn down opportunities while you wait on somebody else. You don't want to wait. Like, you shouldn't wait for things in your life.
I think we've all been in situations where we feel like our hands are tied, right? It's, if I stay, I know I'm going to be unhappy with these things because these things have caused me to feel the way that I feel.
But if I leave, I'm afraid to lose what potentially could be something that I want long term. And I think that we have to stop looking at dating somebody for potential versus looking at what is actually in front of you. And my parents always told me growing up, when they show you once, believe. Don't give them an opportunity to show you twice. And I think that we've all been in situations where we saw the red flags flying in a relationship, right? And because you wanted it to work out so bad, you were willing to look at that person's potential versus looking at what they're really showing you.
I would absolutely 1000% agree. I mean, and I think we've all done it, right? Like we all sit there and that's where we get the whole thing of like, oh, women think they can change a man. It's not even that. We just like, we're betting on the potential. We're putting our bets on the potential. And I can say safely now at 29 years old, anything that I've looked at for potential has never lived up to mine. It's never lived to actually turn into what I thought it could.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that looking at someone for their potential is also fantasizing a situation, right? Like this person could be X, Y, and Z. Okay, well, I could win the damn lottery.
Correct.
But like that doesn't mean that I'm going to. And I don't know. I think because of the lived life experience that I have had, I would never go into another situation at 33 years old looking at the potential someone has versus exactly what they're showing me. Because I am also a firm believer that you invest your time where you want to and you do the things that you want to do. So if someone is choosing to, and I've said this to one of my girlfriends before when she was going through relationship stuff, like if he's choosing to go out to the bars and be with his friends and not be available to you, that is your answer. Like he is making that conscious choice as an adult that those are the things that he wants to do.
Yes, agreed.
And so like going, in my opinion, going to AA and weekly therapy and Bible study, which are all great things. And I can very much respect that. It shouldn't have taken you losing me for you to get to the point that you feel like you need to do those things. Are you really doing those things for yourself? Or are you doing those things to pacify me for a period of time to try to get me back?
Right. Like that right there. I always say like, it's better to like, move on or let go too early than it is too late, because you'll get over the too early, but the too late could actually like cause a lot of damage, a lot of trauma, like lasting effects. And like when I say like don't wait around for like potential, I'm not talking about someone who's already on the right path and you're just like waiting, like they're going through the life steps, right? Like you all have to pay your dues at your jobs. I'm not saying like don't be with someone who's not in an entry-level position because like they're never going to – like that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about people who have very obvious like red flags and you're mm-hmm. like, I think I could turn them yellow, maybe green.
And it's like, no. Immediately when I see a red flag, there's going to be one of two things happening. I'm going to ghost or just flat out – tell you like these are the red flags that I see, and they might not be a red flag to you because that is who you are, but I don't have a place for that in my life. Like that's what I am likely going to do. I feel like I've been through far too much in the past couple of years to allow anything in my life that potentially could harm me in any way.
No, I agree.
I do want to read this listener message. It was very sweet. She said, hello, love. First off, I just want to say I love all the podcasts. My weekly listens are like a bonus therapy session for me. Second, I applaud you the way you handled the divorce and splitting custody. You've shown so much class and truly handled the situation as I wish we all could.
Good job, Mama. Thirdly, I'm in the same boat and our current custody agreement isn't working for us. My ex-husband has a girlfriend, and since she came along and our co-parenting has gone downhill. We have our mediation on Tuesday, and I would absolutely love and appreciate if you could be so kind to send me a copy of what you have written and yours. We will be going to 50-50. Thank you so much. Love, a divorced mama trying her best and giving her all and thriving to handle complicated and stressful situations like you. First of all, thank you, because I don't feel like I have handled everything the best way at all. And there are a lot of things that I wish, knowing what I know now, that I could go back and change. But again, I maintain the thought process of you have to go through the shit to make it out on the other side. And I feel like what felt like a lifetime of us trying to figure out something really was so short lived. And I think it didn't take a lot of bullshit for us to get our bellies full to be like, you know what? Neither of us want this as a part of our life. I can very much relate to a new girlfriend coming into the picture. And, you know, in my case, my ex-husband's personality completely morphing into another human being. And someone trying to give us parenting advice who is 26 years old and not a lawyer, but a law student, trying to give us advice on how to parent and also picking apart my parenting plan when the person had never parented. So I can very much relate to this. I think that you are unfortunately going to have to go into mediation and be in an uncomfortable situation. And I always say putting yourself in uncomfortable situations now will allow you to be comfortable later. And I'm thankful that we never had to go to mediation. But if we did, I feel like that is an opportunity for multiple people to be heard and for professionals to be able to rectify issues that you can't remedy on your own. And that's why they're there.
And on that note, I have a question for you.
What?
That was asked of you.
Oh, God. I don't think
you're ready for this.
Oh, God.
If you could make a dating profile for Will, what would it say?
A dating profile for Will, what would it say? Run. No, I'm just kidding. Easy to love and hard to love. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Like, he's a very likable and lovable person, but that only gets so far. And then I feel like from my experience, it was like a threshold of you couldn't like break past that barrier. And so the love that we had, I feel like I couldn't get deep. So, you know, if you're looking for somebody that is, you know, surface lovable, he's your guy.
So you're out here saying that Will's got some walls.
Will's got some walls. He does.
Insert to the windows.
To the wall. Sweat drop down my balls.
Oh, boy.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze. And it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Any other questions?
Actually, yes.
Oh,
I mean, we had some, but, you know, we're out here, like, stringing out over time. So I'm going to ask you one more.
Okay.
How did you have the tough conversation with Jackson surrounding the ending of your relationship with Suburban Dad?
You know what? That was really hard because I felt like we were together for probably way longer than we actually were. And our kids were a part of each other's lives. And so when you have a person that comes into your life who is a part of your life and then becomes a part of your kid's life and their kids become a part of your child's life, it's a separation from three people right there, right? And it will be coming up on a year. July 4th weekend was the first weekend that Suburban Dad met Jackson last year. And so it was very sad, but Jackson understood way more than what I expected him to understand. And I had the same mindset of, you don't have to be strong around your kids all the time, because you want them to be able to see that everything's not perfect all the time. And so I rolled with that throughout the divorce process and told him, like, it's okay if mommy's not okay on one day, like if he sees me crying. I don't think that that makes me weak or a bad parent because my child saw me crying. And the same thing happened through the exiting of Suburban Dad. And it truly made it easier to be able to have those conversations, because when he came to me and said, Mom, you seem upset, are you okay? It allowed for me to be able to have open and honest conversation. And while I didn't get into the nitty gritty of why we separated and went our separate ways, it was a true lesson for both of us. In a lot of ways, that sometimes things just don't work out, and God has a reason for everything that happens in life. And we have to trust that God's plan is bigger than ours, and anything that is meant to be will be. And if you lose something and it comes back to you and it finds you again, then it was meant to be. And if it doesn't, then that's what was meant to be. And that we love the people that come into our life. And sometimes people come into your life for a season. And sometimes people come into your life for a reason, or a season and a reason, right? So that's kind of how I explained it to him. And he was very understanding. Of course, he had lots of questions. And, you know, occasionally I'll get the questions about, you know, how do you think such and such is doing? Or do you ever miss this person? And I'm very honest and transparent with him. And it allows for us to have a very special relationship, because he knows that anything that he comes to me with, that I'm going to be honest with him.
I love that. Now, can you hit us with the weekly devotional? Because I think a lot of people need it.
Yes. I saw this and I was like, you know what? This is absolutely perfect. It says, respect your own process. What works for others might not work for you. God is a personal God. He works in each of us uniquely. So learn to focus on your own path, as God is also doing mighty things in your story. Avoid comparing. Stop putting blame on others. Start planting seeds of genuine kindness instead of hidden hatred. Other people's lives might not look great, but yours is just getting better and better. God is moving. Trust him.
So fitting for this episode this week. And then we've got some celebrity tea.
Oh, God.
This is all alleged. So, like, nobody out here trying to sue me. All right?
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds is an asshole and one of the meanest celebs to work with, unless you're rich and famous slash have something good to offer him. He has a great PR team.
Oh, wow.
Been in the same. Oh, do you want to comment on that before I move on?
I do, because that to me is shocking.
I was like jaw dropped. I'm like, are you shitting me?
Like, I'm a big fan of Ryan Reynolds and a big fan of Blake Lively and a big fan of their marriage. And I just think it's hilarious. And while a lot of people talk about how hilarious my dad is on Chrisley Knows Best, I know it's not quite as hilarious to us when we're the victims of the bullshit. So I feel that Blake Lively might have that same thought at times when she's the victim of Ryan's bullshit. But like, I just love him.
Same. I would be very sad if that was actually in fact true. Like, maybe they just had a bad encounter, maybe they were mean to him, like, you know what I mean? You never know the whole other side of the story and then the truth. You don't know.
So it's so weird, because I've heard so many times people who I would have assumed would be like the most annoying, problematic, whatever, you hear like the nicest, easiest, whatever. And then the people that you would think would be the most chill, least problematic are in fact the exact opposite.
Yeah. I mean, this is literally why they say don't meet your idols, I swear. Then this person said, been in the same small group settings as Jeremy Allen White and his now wife, and they're so mean. Like, they were personally so rude and mean to me on multiple occasions. It sucks because they weren't mean to other people in the same small setting, and I kind of got a bad feeling as to why I was the one they were nasty to.
Who the heck is Jeremy Allen White?
I didn't know either. I didn't know. But this is the same person as Ryan Reynolds. And then they said, John Legend is a dick, an egotistical, rude person. Never met Chrissy, so I don't know about her. I get asked about her whenever I mention meeting John Legend.
Okay. I would not be shocked by the John Legend thing because he's married to Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, God. I mean, I could definitely, I feel like I could pick up like an egotistical vibe. Maybe not so much dick, but like definitely full of themselves.
Okay, so Jeremy Allen White is on Shameless.
Okay. I knew the name sounded familiar. I just didn't know like where he was from.
Yeah. That's very unfortunate. Why would you put yourself in a small group setting to just be a dick to people? Like, that to me is so weird. Like, just keep your ass at home.
It's very, very weird. But I'm here for the celebrity tea. So if people have any other encounters that they want to send in or stuff that they know, feel free to send it our way.
And I also just want to say, like, why do people go out here just showing up to be a dick all the time?
I mean, I get it. We all have bad days, right? But, like, let's not be a consistent dick.
No, but I think that people – there are certain people who are just consistent dicks.
Actually, you know, in my – I'm about to say old age. In my older age, I do appreciate someone who is a consistent anything, right?
Oh, like,
the consistency for me is where it's at. So if you're going to be – a bitch, be a consistent one. If you're going to be a dick, be a consistent one. But if you're going to flip-flop between, like, nice person and then, like, dick or asshole, like, I can't do that.
I have said that about my ex-husband on Coffee Convos before, that at least just let me know what I'm signing up for. So, like, if you're going to be an asshole, just ride being an asshole. Just keep it consistent through all aspects, whether it's, you know, you see me in Publix, you co-parenting with me, you see me at a school function, like, just let, I know that I'm getting an asshole, so I can predict it and I can deal with that. But you being flaky flake, thinking that you're going to be an asshole to me one day and then you're going to be best friends with me the next day, like, that's not how this is going to roll. Just be consistent, whatever you are.
Yeah, I can't get down with that type of personality. It's kind of like bringing me back to like the Sam and Ronnie vibes where she's like, are you friends with her? Tell me now. It's like, are you a dick? Tell me now.
Now, literally, literally. Oh my God. Okay. Well, I am gearing up for my afternoon siesta. So I hope that you guys all get to enjoy one as well. And if you have not followed us on At The Southern Tea Podcast on Instagram, make sure you follow us there. If you have not subscribed to the show, you can do that from any podcast app, wherever you get your podcast, and always first at Podcast One. I hope you guys have a great week and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
See what hit blockbusters are streaming free during Popcorn Summer Movies on Pluto TV. Watch the first four Indiana Jones movies or Minari and Maid of Honor. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies available on live and on demand. Download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices for free. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.